Shema Shalom. Last week, we read the following words as the Israelites received the Ten Commandments. There was thunder and lightning and a dense cloud upon the mountain and a very loud blast on the horn. And all of the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses led the people out of the camp toward God, and they took their places at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, for Adonai had come down upon it in fire. And the smoke rose like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The blare of the horn grew louder and louder. As Moses spoke, God answered him in thunder. And at this moment of high drama, the Israelites receive the Ten Commandments. Here we are, a mere week later, and the tone of this week's Torah portion is radically different. It begins with a long list of laws, strictures, and requirements. The portion is named Mishpatim, which translates to ordinances. This litany of laws is in high contrast to other sections of Torah in which we get stories that draw us in and teach us through narrative. We listen to stories in a very different way than we would listen to lengthy lists of laws and ordinances. Laws can seem abstract, and we can easily lose sight of how such laws relate to day-to-day life. Yet, when we step back, we know that laws developed in response to real life stories, real life situations. It's the same rubric that we see in legal cases in the US today. The law is a living thing. Rulings are responses to the decisions that we make and the actions that we take. Roe v. Wade, Brown versus the Board of Education, even the names in these rulings represent, of course, the people behind the cases. Roe was a pseudonym for Norma McCorvey, who was suing her local DA, Henry Wade, and after Norma's case was won, life changed for millions of women. Law is personal, and while we may read the law as if it's forged in stone, we see, as with Roe v. Wade, it is always in flux. In an interesting turn, Norma McCorvey had a political and religious conversion in the mid-90s. She was baptized on television and declared herself pro-life. She then went on a crusade against the ruling her own case had made possible. She divorced herself from the very law that was established through her actions. Yet the freedom that she fought for became much, much larger than her own case. Roe v. Wade gave women the freedom to choose what is right for our own bodies and our own lives. Yet we find that at this moment in this country, we are back in the trenches. Sometimes we get too comfortable and we take our freedoms for granted. We can be caught off guard and suddenly see that hard-won laws that uphold our freedoms are threatened. And we need to be vigilant in protecting them. So what does Judaism have to teach us about protecting freedom? We read in the Torah no less than 36 times that we are to protect the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. Even in our Torah portion this week, we read, "You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not ill-treat any widow or orphan." Why do we read this commandment over and over? Why do we need to be reminded of it again and again? When the Israelites were making their way out of Egypt, they still had the mentality of slaves. Even though they had witnessed the plagues and the parting of the sea, they did not own their freedom or sense of agency. Psychologically and spiritually, they were not free. And let's face it, the work of protecting freedom is hard. Laws need to be reestablished and reaffirmed over and over in order for us to protect the freedom that they offer us. We need to pay attention to what is going on in our justice system. We need to keep an eye on the moving parts, and we need to act, advocate, vote, and raise our voices to help safeguard the laws that give us our very rights and freedoms. We read in Mishnah Avot, "No person is truly free except the one who labors in Torah." Rabbi Jonathan Sacks explains, "The only real freed human being is the one who studies Torah, meaning somebody who understands the law and has made the law part of their own selves because they've internalized it, because they can see the history behind it, because they can see the logic behind it. The people who experience slavery should never create a society in which those bad things can happen again. As a people, we experienced true freedom not only when we were redeemed from slavery, but when we received Torah at Sinai. The Torah gave us the liberty to create a moral society around laws and uphold equality and advocate for human dignity. These commandments are living. As Jews, we are in conversation with the Torah's vision of how to create a moral society. The Torah is called the tree of life. The roots of ancient wisdom nourish even the newest buds and leaves. Torah informs and uplifts, giving us the tools to safeguard liberty and justice in each generation. Shabbat Shalom.